And it's RN Breakfast. James Carlton with you. It's been a pretty remarkable week in the life of this 44th Parliament. It began with the swearing-in of the new Senate and ended with, well, the non-axing of the carbon tax. Fran Kelly joins Breakfast this morning from Melbourne, and Michelle Grattan is with us from Canberra. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, James.
So, Michelle, let me start with you. The government thought it had the agreement of the Palmer United Party to axe the carbon tax. The PU senators at the last minute feared the legislation wouldn't ensure savings were passed on to consumers as they were promised. What happened next?
Well, they put forward an amendment. It was very much at the last minute. But then the government did agree to the substance of that amendment, but the clerk of the Senate said that it couldn't be introduced for constitutional reasons in the upper house. The upper house can't amend bills so that a tax is imposed, and this was seen as a tax. And that meant that there was an impasse. The government wasn't willing to go along with an amendment in the upper house that was not going to be constitutional, and the Palmer Party, or Clive Palmer himself, was not willing to agree to the proposition that the government put, repeal the tax and we'll fix up the amendment in the house next week. He wasn't going to take that on trust, so of course the amendment was withdrawn by PUP.
And Fran Kelly, that's fair enough. If it's a gentleman's agreement, isn't worth the paper it's written on, a handshake, they say. You know, it's got to be in writing.
Well, I think that goes to the relationships between the parties, and I think when Michelle said they weren't going to take it on trust, this has really highlighted there is little trust between the Clive Palmer. I can't speak for the rest of the Palmer United parties, but it's pretty clear that Clive Palmer and his senators don't have much trust in this government. Well, that's the way they're behaving anyway. So, look, I think this was a problem brought about because the government was so keen to get this passed this week. This whole Senate sitting week was scheduled just really to get the vote on the carbon tax through. And the government's mistake in the end, it seems to be, was to have guillotined the debate to make sure they could bring on the vote, which didn't give them enough time to reassure the Palmer United senators that they could make this work. So when they were, and I think it probably is fair to say, in that huddle outside the Senate chamber, somewhat desperately saying, just pass it, we'll fix it up in the reps, no problems. You know, there wasn't the trust in the trust bank there for the Palmer United Party to say, yeah, okay. And that's where it broke down. If they hadn't guillotined that debate, the vote wouldn't have had to be brought on at midday. Am I right, Michelle? And they might have had a little bit more time to work this out.
Yes, that is right. I think that the danger that is now faced is that the amendment itself starts to unravel. Both Clive Palmer and the government insist that it would only apply to power companies, but we're getting a lot of talk, of course, now from industry that it could be wider. Bill Shorten was canvassing this before with Ali. If that starts to gain momentum over the weekend, there's more trouble ahead.
Well, I think that's partly the problem with the haste around this. If you look at the Third Amendment, the one that they're thinking of voting on Monday, if I read it, it does look to me as though it includes all other companies, and certainly when not just the power generators. And certainly when Clive Palmer was asked about this yesterday, he said, "We read this morning that Virgin and Qantas have said they're not going to pass those savings on. Well, they're just going to absorb them as extra profits. We don't think that's a reasonable thing." So he seemed to be implying then that these penalties were going to affect all companies, that they would all have to make clear that they're passing on the savings, and if they don't, they'd be penalised. But when he was asked on the 7:30 last night, he said it doesn't say that. He said, "What I'm saying is the case of electricity and gas producers. They need to be faced with these penalties." So it's unclear in the drafting, though it does appear as though the sentiment of the Palmer United Party and the government, or the understanding, was that it was only about the energy generators. But you can't have these misunderstandings in legislation. It has to be crystal clear.
And also it would have to stand up if it was under any challenge. So the ultimate test really is how it would be read at law.
But at the end of the day, Michelle, there will be this amendment. It'll emanate from the House of Representatives, possibly by Clive Palmer himself as the member for Fairfax. They'll reach their agreement, it'll get to the Senate, and then probably next week there'll be no carbon tax.
Well, probably, and if that scenario doesn't happen, I think that the government's in a very awkward position, but it is hopeful that it will happen, and that's the aim too, I think, of the Palmerites, but there's many a slip in this saga.
Sure. Well, in fact, this whole new Senate is inherently unpredictable, procedurally, in terms of the political numbers, and also because Clive Palmer himself is such an unpredictable personality. But is that a bad thing? I mean, you know, isn't it better to have a bit of uncertainty, a bit of argy-bargy in parliamentary democracy rather than senators lining up to vote the way they're told on legislation they've not read?
Well, I think it's always a balance, isn't it? Because at some point it does become a matter of a government not being able to govern. I think the big test actually is less the repeal of the carbon tax that'll happen eventually, but how the budget plays out, just how many of these measures go down.
Right. And I think, James, if you're implying that it's good that the Senate is not just a rubber stamp, that the numbers are preordained and that's how everything happens, well, of course, that's true. It's meant to be a chamber of review. We're meant to have debate in a working democracy. But if it's chaos that's reigning because of misunderstanding either of process or of the intent of policy, that's a different thing. And that is really the government's job to make sure that the chamber can run smoothly, that it's doing the work behind the scenes in the preparation of the legislation and also the explanation of the process. Remember, these people have only been there a few days. It's really hard to get the drift of how these things work, and amendments are flying in and out, and there's all sorts of procedures that must be followed. The government really needs to be working with these new senators to help them move through the maze of the Senate, get the procedures right, so then we can at least get proper debate on the policies. At the moment, what we're seeing, I think, is the procedure getting in the way of any kind of good policy debate, and it's all ending in pretty chaotic scenes yesterday. So I think the government has to work harder here to be, A, develop that trust with these crossbenchers, develop lines of communication, to have enough forward planning in place to make sure it can work smoothly.
Well, I think one of the problems, though, is that there's a wider agenda being played out here, and that is Clive Palmer's ambitions. Mm. There are state elections.
That's the unknown, isn't it?
Yes, there are state elections coming up. He wants to run candidates in Victoria. Queensland, of course, next year will be a very important election for him. So he is not just dealing with legislation and the situation before him, but using this as a wider platform to amplify his message.
Let me ask you both, if the Senate is a house of review, what do you make of this review by PUP Senator Jackie Lambie on The Project last night about Government Senator Eric Abetz?
I've asked Tony Abbott to sack him immediately. He's been an absolute disgrace. You know what? I've said it and I'll say it before. If you want to come into the kennel with the pups, be prepared to be chewed up and spat back out. But you know what? Stop these silly games. That's not what we're here for.
Michelle, Benjamin Disraeli, she ain't.
Well, I don't quite know what prompted that particular comment, but I think Eric Abetz actually has been trying quite hard this week, no doubt under orders from Tony Abbott to...
He's on the charm offensive, Michelle.
...be nice to the pups, but the imagine pups have got sharp teeth.
Imagine what Jackie Lambie would have said if Senator Abetz wasn't charming.
Well, indeed.
Not suitable.
No, I think that just goes to the point we were making before, James, that the trust hasn't been established yet. I mean, if Jackie Lambie is speaking like that about the leader of the government in the Senate after a few days, then obviously there's more relationship building to be done.
Let's move to asylum seekers. Michelle, the 153 Sri Lankan asylum seekers floating somewhere in the sea will be in the High Court through their representatives today. How is this going to end up? Is this a procedural thing? Is it likely that they'll end up in Nauru?
Well, we don't know, of course, how the High Court judgment will end up, but I would have thought that they will end up landing somewhere. I can't see how the government can just keep them in limbo for weeks.
On the ocean.
That's right. I would have thought that they would try to take them to some area to process, and Nauru is more logical because there are children, including I think a two-year-old on this boat, so children don't go to Manus. But we have no information. That's the point. We don't know what the government's going to do, but that would seem the logic to me.
Yes, Frank Kelly, host of Insiders, Michelle Grattan, chief political correspondent, The Conversation. Thank you both very much.
Thank you, James.
The government reluctant to give answers, but they'll have to when it's the judge asks in the High Court today. We'll see what happens. It's 8 o'clock on RN Breakfast.